Wow, you picked a great gathering to join us this weekend. It's a really special weekend. It's by far many people's most favorite gathering of the year. So I'm glad you're with us. Obviously, it's Mother's Day. And I want to say real quick, thank you to all of you who've reached out to me, sent me cards, and thinking about my mom, praying for her after 39 years losing her husband. It's a, you know, it's a challenge. And with her own medical issues, she's got MS, and so it's difficult to get around, and now aging. It's a difficult time. Many of you that have aging parents appreciate it. And again, thank you. I'll be over to see her after a little while. But this weekend, you may be feeling like the poor gal in the video and just need a quarantine away from the stuff. But I'm glad you took time to be with us now, because my favorite mom in the whole world, I love my mom, but I married the best mom in the world. Well, she wasn't a mom when I married her, but she's the best mom in the world and done an awesome job. She serves this church. She serves the community, serves the people that she works with. So I want you to welcome my favorite mom, Sandy, my wife. Come on, give it up for her. Let her hear it all the way here in the quarantine zone. Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for sharing so many years doing this. How many years has it been?
This is our 17th Mother's Day.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Lots of fun. Thank you. Hi, happy Mother's Day to everybody, and happy birthday to Hannah. We share the holiday this year, not her favorite year. She doesn't really like to share her birthday, but I thought I'd do a shout out for her birthday as well. It's a fun week for me. Not only do I have Mother's Day to celebrate, but I also get to celebrate Hannah's birthday, Rebecca's birthday, and Katie's birthday all in the same week. Who could even think that was fathomable. But I'm happy to be here during our Get Your Brick On series. Lots of fun with Legos have been had in the Salmon family. And in fact, my kids were Lego fanatics. From the earliest age possible, probably earlier than what people would have recommended, we had Legos and Duplos seemingly everywhere. And because of my personality, I came up with grand systems and processes to keep all of our Legos organized and picked up. I had drawer units with all of the different colors sorted. I got fishing tackle boxes. This is before the Container Store came in vogue, and I had fishing tackle boxes where I could keep all the little weapons and accessories separated. I sorted out the heads and body parts by people groups. I had all kinds of systems developed so that we could keep those Legos picked up. And woe to the child or adult who looked at me and said I was stifling creativity by my processes. That would have been Charlie. But the Lego organization is vitally important. One of the most frustrating things that occurred when I was organizing the Legos was when two different colored Legos got stuck together. And that red and blue Lego piece that I could not tear apart would leave me sweating and breaking fingernails just trying to get that connection apart. And that connectivity of Legos is a picture of the connectivity moms desire to have with their children, and actually the connection that God desires to have with Him, with us, and for us to have with others. You see, for the first 9 months of a baby's life, the connection is easy. There's an umbilical cord, there's a placenta. And that mom and baby have that connection that just breeds life and growth and wholeness and health. It's effortless. And then the baby's born. The cord is cut, and from then on out, that connection requires effort. And trying to stay connected to a newborn requires work. It takes carriers and monitors and swings and holding and rocking and singing and soothing and shushing and so much time. And it doesn't get any easier as kids grow up. Staying connected to our tween, teen, and adult children can be very complex. And it's easy to lose the connection that at one time was effortless. I remember asking my boys when they built especially elaborate Legos, they wanted me, of course, this is a little bit of my personality, to paint them. I had the little model paint brushes, paint them with super glue so that they wouldn't break apart. And their response was an emphatic, "No, Mom, the point of Lego building is keeping the connection when circumstances make it easy for the Lego to fall apart," as Charlie demonstrated last week. You may, during this COVID quarantine, feel stuck to your kids physically. This shelter in place has actually put stress on families. The togetherness is forced. And it actually is making us having a bit of an easier time to fall apart relationally, emotionally, even spiritually. Tempers flare, and the solution is everyone needs to shelter in place in their own room. I'll stay in my room, you stay in your room. We may be physically close, but emotionally and relationally different. I was running last weekend, and I just had to kind of stop and laugh because being up here in Snoqualmie Ridge for 17 years now, I'm running, and here's three boys, and I would say they were 6, 8, and 10. I thought brothers, but maybe friends, and they were all riding these scooter. They looked like little mini dirt bikes. And so we had real mini bikes when I was a kid. These weren't real mini bikes, but they were made to look like, you know, dirt racing bikes. But they definitely had some kind of a battery motor on them. They had their helmets on, and they're driving around all around the retention pond and through the neighborhoods. And I thought, oh my goodness. Those parents would have never bought those scooters for their kids, let alone let them ride them around the neighborhoods of Snoqualmie Ridge if they didn't feel the need to get unstuck from their kids, right? The quarantine had caused the stuckness with their kids to actually result in a freedom for their children to have fun in a way that wouldn't have been available to them if COVID hadn't happened. You see, being stuck was actually the lever that produced freedom. Let me say that again. Being stuck was actually the lever that produced freedom. We all want to connect with our kids, but more importantly, God, our perfect parent, wants to connect with us. Connection with God is actually the lever, that close connection with God is actually the lever for freedom, so that you will be free to fulfill the destiny God has actually planned for you. On this Mother's Day, I thought I would look at some basic principles of connecting with our children and parallel those principles with our connection to God and see if we can find and discover a pathway to freedom through connectivity. And our scripture for this investigation is Ephesians 3. And during this talk, we'll be unpacking verses 10 through 21. And to set up the story, Paul is in prison for preaching the good news of Christ to people who weren't Jewish, the Gentiles. And the idea that God would save the Gentile people and connect them with the Jews was inconceivable to the point of putting Paul in prison. So Paul is explaining that actually that connection, that unusual and unanticipated connection of God, was his secret plan from the beginning. We'll take it up in verse 10. And his, God's reason, to show all the rulers in heaven how perfectly wise he is when all of his family, Jews and Gentiles alike, are seen to be joined together in his church in just the way he planned it through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the connection that's going to allow other people around us to discover the freedom that we can only find through Jesus Christ. You see, connection is beautiful. Being stuck together is God's plan to demonstrate to to the world the beauty of his church. Like Lego masterpieces, connection can defy circumstances, but connection can be fragile. So how do we connect with God and others? That's the question. And the how of how we do that is by communication. We need to talk. We need to come, talk, and listen. The most basic way to connect with your children is to talk and listen to them. And the most basic way to connect with God is to talk and listen to him. Verse 12 goes on and says, now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome when we come with Christ and trust in him. In the same way that we want our kids to tell us what they're thinking of, God desires to hear from us. Have you ever had that experience where you know what your child is going through? You can just tell. You know what something's going on and you're pretty sure what they're thinking. But you don't want to go to them and say, hey, Hannah, I know what you're thinking. Instead, you want to have that connection where Hannah will come to you and say, or your child will come to you and pour out her heart to me. Why? Because I want my child to trust me enough to talk to me. I want my child to trust me enough to tell me what's going on, to reach out to me with their problems and their feelings. And God wants us to do the same. He wants us to tell him about our day. Yes, he knows exactly what's happening in your life. But you know what? He knows that building the conversational relationship will result in greater connectivity and trust. And that is when we will have the stuckness, whatever that word should be, the stickiness, so that we can get unstuck and have the impact we're supposed to have in our world. Stephen and Caleb are great question askers. As a matter of fact, Stephen was limited by teachers to how many questions he could ask during a class period, all the way through high school. And his teachers didn't mind that he wanted to ask a lot of questions. They loved that he didn't accept their word on everything, and that he wanted them to tell them the why, not just the what. Because they understood that by knowing the why, his knowledge base would actually increase, so he could internalize and operate what he was learning. So for our kids, we need to know that they have the right to ask questions, and we need to ask questions of them. Because I said so isn't good enough for our kids to have the connection that we want to have with them. And it's imperative for people to feel that you are interested in what they're saying for them to want to talk to you. That is what caring sounds like. Asking questions about what your kids told you proves you were listening to them and want to know more. Don't expect them to tell you everything in one sitting, but build that connection by asking questions and then listening to them. Did you know that God welcomes your questions? If you don't believe that, read the story of Gideon. He doesn't mind when you ask questions, because when you ask questions, he'll know that you're actually engaged in the conversation and the connection that you're having with him. That means that you're moving past this idea that he's Santa Claus or fairy godmother, but that you are really trying to understand his perspective and where he's coming from and gain the wisdom that he has, which will lend itself to listening and trusting what he has to say. The question I want to ask you is, are you in conversation with your kids? Are you in conversation with God? Are you asking questions and listening for answers? If not, you will never get to the next step of stickiness that will ultimately lead you to freedom. So conversation, communication, come. Secondly, you need to grow. Take an interest in their interests. Verse 16 and 17 goes on to say, I pray that out of his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. You see, sometimes just talking isn't enough. Sometimes just talking to your kids won't develop that relationship that you want to have with them. You need to sometimes get down and do an activity with them. And talking with God may not be enough. Really, you need to listen. And that's a great start, but to strengthen that connection, at some point you need to start doing what God wants you to do. I need to start doing what God wants me to do. With our kids, we need to sit down and do something they want to do. If that means pick up the second controller of the video game, we need to do it. Maybe it's help them with an art project. You can try to get involved in anything they like to do. They may try to shut you out, but I guarantee you, if you get active with what they like to be active with, you have a much better chance of connecting with them. And you will see your relationship grow. In the same way, we have to do what God is asking us to do. We have to do what he likes to do. And we can only discover what that is through, you're right, number one, coming and having that conversation. So what activity does God want you to do with him? Do you realize that he has designed you for a special purpose that is different than the purpose anyone else has? I know that Charlie talks a lot about our differences, and we are really different. But that doesn't mean that one of us has been designed to make a bigger or more right, better impact on our world than the other. No, it means that each of us was designed to make an impact for Christ in a different way. Now, Charlie's big, extroverted, big picture way of seeing the world could cause me to hole up in my introverted self and let insecurity rob me of God's destiny. But instead, I need to be secure enough in the plans God has for me and his promise to equip me to accomplish what he has called me to do. I heard Craig Groeschel say, you can't outperform your insecurities, and I really believe that. Don't allow insecurity to rob you of the destiny God has planned for you. Connect and then jump into action. Get involved in God's activity, and that is when you will grow in faith. We need to connect with God through active conversation. We need to connect with our kids through active conversation. We need to act on what God says and get involved in the destiny he has laid out for us. And we need to understand, thirdly, God's motivation. So number three is understand. Love is the best motivator. In verses 18 and 19, Paul goes on, and may you be able to feel how and understand as all of God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourself, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. And so at last, you will be filled up with God himself. We try to motivate our kids in many ways. And oftentimes, unfortunately, I try to use the means of guilting my kids into acting a certain way, in trying to coerce a change of behavior. You see, I grew up with the picture of God, with the God of the pointed finger, just looking to get me. And he was always looking for that opportunity. And that made me grow up thinking that I was never meeting God's standard for myself, filled with lots of guilt and remorse. But as I developed that two-way conversation with God that I'm talking about and grew in my realization that he had designed me perfectly for his purpose, was that God wasn't trying to manipulate me out of a sense of needing to have a power trip or to manipulate me to look good. Instead, he wanted me to get involved in his activity and to talk with him because he knew that that was what was best for me and would lead to my happiness and fulfillment. And that is the way it is for you as well. He asks us to get connected with him because he loves us. And isn't that the truth with our children too? We want them to understand that our motivation for them is love. We're not trying to have little puppets. I don't want a little Charlie and little Sandy's running around. I want Stephen, Caleb, and Hannah to be Stephen, Caleb, and Hannah the way God designed them and be released to their full potential because I love them. And God wants to do that for you. His desire is for you to fulfill the purpose he has designed you for. Not to manipulate you, but he knows this is where you will find peace and true happiness. Have you asked God what your gift is? Have you asked him what you're designed to do? Have you gotten active in his activity? Are you talking with him? God's ultimate goal is that we'll be so full of him, so stuck to him, so connected to him, that we can pour out his love to others in unique and powerful ways. We have to connect with God in two-way conversation. We need to get involved in activities that God endorses, and we need to understand that God is motivated by love. And then we need to allow his spirit to flow through us in such a way that we truly get unstuck. Number four, release. Let the journey happen. Verse 20 goes on to say, "Now glory be to God, who by his mighty power is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, our desires, our thoughts, or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ." There comes a point in our children's life when they start to walk, and then they run, and then it feels like they run away. If your connection is strong, they can become physically distant from you, yet spiritually, emotionally, and relationally connected. If they stayed stuck to you physically, like they are when they're babies, they could never do what God called them to do. That stuckness would actually hinder their ability to flourish. If they're going to do what they're designed to do, they need to be physically less connected to you. But it doesn't mean that that connection relationally has to be downgraded. They can become what God has designed them to become. In the same way as our connection with God grows and we become stuck to him like those sticky Legos that caused me so much sweat, tears, and broken fingernails, he releases us not to be less connected, but to have greater impact. By being faithful to God today through prayer, which demonstrates your need for his wisdom, through service, which demonstrates your submission to his will, and through giving, which demonstrates your faith in his provision, you are taking steps of maturity that will move you on a pathway to make the difference in this world that you were designed to make, in your family, in your community, at your work, and in your world. Come to God. grow in him, understand his love, and then make a difference. How is God asking you to make a difference today? Not 10 years from now, not in your next job, today. It can be simple. During this COVID crisis, I've lived a different life than most of you have. As an essential worker, I go in every day. And for about the first 6 weeks, I was in at work 7 days a week, and I don't even want to count up the hours. And I was tired. I had come home on a Friday, and I really was exhausted, and Charlie had meetings, and I just thought, I'm going to just throw some dinner together. And as I was getting into the kitchen and just opening up the refrigerator, because it just felt nice to do something different than think about COVID-19 and the implications for our patients, that I walked in the kitchen, and the doorbell rang. And I thought, oh, no. Who now? I'm done. I'm undone. And you know what? There was Ceci Romero with dinner from our community group, already made. It was so encouraging to me. It lifted my spirits, not just because I didn't have to cook dinner, because it made me know that though I was exhausted and worn out, and I just wanted someone to say, go shelter in place, and I couldn't, that someone was praying for me, that someone was thinking about me, that someone had taken the time to pray and ask God, what can I do? And then they listened to what God said, and then they did it. And it made a difference in my life and encouraged me at a low point. Moms, all of us, even with shelter in place, you have an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. Maybe change the tone of your social media posts. Maybe bring encouragement to others instead of comparing with others. Maybe reach out to people that you've lost connection with and share with them something that Jesus has done in your life through this sheltering in place experience. Maybe be generous with love and forgiveness in a way you've never done before. In doing so, you will have influence in a way you never imagined, because that is what God has designed you to have. Happy Mother's Day. I pray that you will have a happy, healthy, safe day, and that soon we'll be able to share moments together at Church on the Ridge together. Charlie.
Sandy, thank you. Man, impactful. You know, did you hear what she asked? Have you asked God what your gifts are? You have them. And if you're going to make that impact, you got to discover what they are. Pastor Kevin has a way for you to do that. So I encourage you to reach out to him. You can fill it out in your connection card. You guys know how to do. There's something online there. You can do that. And our hosts have told you all about it. Have you asked him what your gift? Have you asked him what your destiny is? Why you were born, why you're to be connected with him so you can disconnect to serve others. And then are you active in the activities that he endorses? What are you doing for God? Maybe today, maybe this week, God will put it on your heart. And if he doesn't put it on your heart, just ask him, God, put it on my heart. Let me pray with you. And I want to pray for moms today. Father, thank you for my wife, Lord. Thank you for her heart and her desire, God, to make a difference in how she serves. And God, for all of our medical personnel at Church on the Ridge, and God, those on the front lines doing that hard work. Lord, we lift them to you. God, for those moms who are on the front lines doing that hard work every day, serving their families, serving their kids. And Lord, as a church, we want to serve our community. So help us, Father. God, as we receive from you, as we receive that connectedness and we discover how much you love us, how wide and how deep and how broad that love is, God, we would allow that love to pour out to those around us. Build up our moms today, encourage them, fill them up fresh. And God, we look forward to the day, as Sandy talked about, when we can gather together again and rejoice in who you are and rejoice as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, great having you, Church on the Ridge. It really is a joy. I want you to simply reflect now. Take a moment and allow this next 30 seconds, maybe a minute, and simply ask the Lord, what's my gift? Why am I here? What do you want me to be involved in? I promise you, if you'll take this moment, he'll speak to you. Have a little pen ready, maybe, and begin to write down what he says to you. And then we'll listen to a wonderful song and worship the God of the universe on this Mother's Day weekend. God bless you guys.